Christ is Risen. This is Father John, the Monday after the Sunday of the Myrrh Bearers. Today we're just going to concentrate on the reading from Acts. But make sure you do the reading from John on your own. So let me go ahead and read that. And then we are going to try to cover a question that actually came in about today's reading. If you send in questions, I can try my best to get to them. I can't make any promises because it's something that I do along with my normal reading of the lectionary. So, but I'll try my best. All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading is from the book of Acts. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, and the elders, and the scribes, and came upon them and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall shew thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein ye now dwell, and he gave him none inheritance in it, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all things? Ye stiff-necked, and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which shewed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him in one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. All right, so looking first at the beginning of the section, note that Stephen is one of the original seven deacons, which we saw in the reading from chapter 6, just preceding this one. Notice also that at verse 10, it says that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And here we should have in mind the 21st chapter of Luke, when our Lord had told the disciples that for I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So God is with Stephen, and because God is with Stephen, he's able to contend with them in argument. All right, so then now moving to verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14. We see the Jews say to him, For we have heard, or rather they say to the council, For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered up. The Orthodox Study Bible has a nice, decent summary of this, commentary on this. It says that the charge that Jesus would destroy the temple was leveled against him at his trial, at Jesus, that is. And we see that in the 26th chapter of Matthew, by false witnesses, because this was a misinterpretation of two of his sayings. One, when he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, which is recorded at John chapter 2, verse 19, our Savior was referring to his own body. And two, he did prophesy the destruction of the Jewish temple in Luke chapter 21, which was fulfilled in AD 70, when the Romans destroyed the temple as punishment for a Jewish rebellion. So when they're saying this about Stephen, it's really referring back to this same charge based on this misinterpretation of what our Savior said. Okay, then, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now take note of that, because that's going to be important for our later, in a moment. Okay, now let's reread the section about how Abraham, where he starts talking about Abraham. He says, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Okay, so now, with respect to this verse, notice it says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. And Vladika Averky, in his book on the Acts of the Apostles, the textbook on the Acts of the Apostles, notes that this could appear to contradict Genesis 11, 11 and 12, which had indicated the Lord appeared to Abraham after he moved to Haran. But the Jewish historians Philo and Josephus confirm the Jews had a tradition that God first appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. And this was further confirmed by Genesis 15:7 and Nehemiah 9:7. So this is another example in the Holy Scriptures where we see that what appears to be a contradiction is not actually upon closer examination. But frequently when we have this sort of thing, you'll get somebody with this sort of snarky approach and say, ah, see that? There's a contradiction in the Scriptures. When if they examine the Scriptures honestly and more deeply, they'll see that that's not actually the case. Then coming down to verse 47, he starts to talk about Solomon building the temple. You should take note, though, if you have a look at Acts, you'll notice in the intervening verses that the lectionary truncates, he talks about Moses, and he talks about the history of the Old Testament, some of the history of the Old Testament in between Abraham and Solomon. This will be important when we consider the question I mentioned earlier. But looking at verse 47 of chapter 7, it says, St. Stephen says, but Solomon built him a house, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. as saith the prophet, and that prophet he's referring to is Isaiah, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool, what house will ye build me? So here we want to take note, and here we should recall what we said about the Lord, that the Lord dwelt among us when we began the John lectionary, that he tabernacled among us. And St. Stephen is tangible proof of this, right? So we become temples for our Lord through our entrance into the Holy Faith and partaking of the Holy Sacraments. And it's precisely for this reason that it says earlier, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel, because his face is literally shining with grace. The grace that's in St. Stephen is evident to those outside. Continuing on, he says that they are uncircumcised. Pardon me, I'm sorry. They're uncircumcised in heart and ears. And here it's important to take thought of Romans chapter 2, verse 28. when St. Paul says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So this strikes a chord with our Savior's criticism of the Sanhedrin and the Jewish elders and scribes being concerned with a merely external, carnal interpretation of the law and the prophets, but not being worried about their internal state, their disposition. And this is why he says that they are uncircumcised in heart and ears. Of course, they're not very happy about that, and that's why it says they were cut to the heart. Now notice it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven." So he's steadfast, he has fortitude, but again, a godly fortitude. "And saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Right? So he's a witness to the glory of God, both within and without. He sees this, he sees heaven, he sees our Savior in heaven. He sees, he has the grace of the Holy Spirit within him, and for that cause his face shines like an angel, and his enemies cannot oppose him in anything. So grace is in St. Stephen through and through. He's completely submitted himself to the life in Christ. And this is the seal of that is put, the seal of that fact is put on it by his martyrdom, where he imitates our Savior in his martyrdom to the point where when they're stoning him, he says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he further says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Right? So he imitates our Savior unto the very end, bearing witness. And throughout the Acts, you should be thinking of these proofs of his resurrection, of the Lord's resurrection, and proof of the Lord working through the apostles that we see again and again in their miracles, in their martyrdom, in their life, etc. Now, the question that had come in was, why does St. Stephen connect his own circumstances and Abraham's story? And the answer to that is that St. Stephen provides them with the proper understanding of the writings and life of the patriarchs and prophets. And he's starting from Abraham insofar as Abraham is our spiritual father, as it were. Christ is the fulfillment of the prophets. And St. Stephen, by going hearkening back to the Holy Patriarch Abraham in his explanation and tying it into what was happening right then and there, is trying to provide a corrective for their proper understanding of the role of the patriarchs and prophets and the law of Moses in the life of the church, and that the life of the church, the life in Christ, is the proper way to understand what the prophets pointed to and the life of Abraham and the meaning of the life of Abraham. I hope that's helpful. May God bless you. Christ is risen. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow with another reading.